Ask the person next to you, would you still say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really need, would your heart and soul say yes?
Say yes, say yes.
Now will your heart and soul say yes?
Say yes.
Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul
say yes?
Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah. Will your spirit still say
yes?
If I told you what I really need from thee, would your heart say yes? So just say
yes.
Open up your
heart
and tell the Lord yes. My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Hey, hey. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. I'm calling you higher, so much more, so much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. If you're going to tell God yes, make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really going to tell God yes, come on. Make it personal with James. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life. heart and soul. Say yes. Will your spirit say,
yeah.
There are more that I require of
you. Glory to your name.
Let your heart and soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to the Father above all. Hallelujah to your name, God Almighty. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In our hearts, I speak for myself. My heart says yes, but I believe I'm not alone in this. So if you're saying yes to God from your heart, just lift your hands and say yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I heard his voice on today. Glory to God. He said, make sure you say what I say. Hallelujah. God has already said yes to you. Hallelujah. So it is only right that we say yes in return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I praise your name on today. I bless you for your anointing. I bless you for your spirit. Hallelujah. I bless you for your grace. Hallelujah. I bless you for your truth. Hallelujah. I bless you for your mind, oh God. Your mind you have placed within us, Lord God. Hallelujah. To accomplish your will in our lives, Lord God. I bless you. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you for the precious blood that is shed for us, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Let us never become so progressive in our revelation that we cannot go back to the cross, that we cannot go back to the blood. God, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our souls, that keeps our minds, that keeps our souls. Hallelujah. And because that blood speaks, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. God, you are all the way right, and we are all the way wrong. But in you, we are corrected. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, and I praise you. And my heart says yes. My soul says yes. My mouth has said yes in response. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord, there is a word today. There is a word from the Lord on today. I say that confidently because he speaks clearly. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. And I thank him for it. I thank him for his word. I thank him for his spirit. I thank him that he knows all things. Hallelujah. He's the searcher of the hearts. Hallelujah. Lord, I just commit this broadcast into your hands right now. And I humble myself even further, the best I know how. Not asking you to humble me, God, because you told us to humble ourselves. But even in our humility, Lord God, that is still has to be accepted before you, Lord God. It has to be right that you will flow. Hallelujah. That you will flow. Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this place. I'm not a singer, but oh well. You are welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name. Hallelujah, Lord God. I know I'm not really a vocalist, but I bless you, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way. I just want you to have your way, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word on today is I am new. I want you to get that in your spirit today. I want you to really, really get that in your spirit because this is from the Lord. I am new. Everything about God is I am. When Moses asked the Lord, he says, Who should I say sent me? God said, tell them, I am that I am. So what you've got to have now is an I am statement. Hallelujah. You have to have a statement of who you are, because if you don't, then somebody's going quick to tell you who you are not, or they're going to place an identity on you that's not really who you are. But God wants you to know who you are, and you are new. So I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to start with the first scripture that I was told to open up with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way, God. 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter number 3. Let me pull this up real quick. Hallelujah. Bear with me one moment while I find my scripture. Anyhow, I am new. You have to make that your confession on today, that you are new. And it may actually be 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to apologize for that. Sometimes I get to ministering and forget the scriptures that I've already taken and highlighted. But here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. I want to read that again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. What is he saying here? We have to understand what this thing cost for us to get what God wants us to have. Not only what he wants us to have, but what he's already given us. But just because God gives you something does not mean you yet possess it. But it is your inheritance, and an inheritance is laid up in a trust for you, meaning God trusts you to come to a certain place of maturity, a place in maturity, being matured in the things of God to receive what is laid up for you. There's an inheritance, and it was paid for, watch this, with something incorruptible, incorruptible. Now he goes on to explain how we were purchased, how we were redeemed. In fact, the Bible says redeemed, and that word redeemed means to be bought back, because we were sold into sin by our father Adam. So he deals with fathers, the sins of fathers all throughout the Bible. Here he says you were redeemed without corruptible things. It wasn't corruptible things like silver and gold. There's no price that earth can make for what God has given. Watch this. For you're being made new, nothing, the most valuable things on planet Earth. You take Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, take both of their accounts and dump it all out in one place and put a dollar amount on that. It's going to be several hundred billions of dollars, or, you know, that's still not going to come close to the price that was paid for you, for me. Now, he speaks here, he says that we were redeemed from the vain conversation. That word conversation doesn't mean what we think it means in English. In the regular English language, when we say conversation, it has to do with what you say. But in the Bible, when it speaks of conversation, and you can study this, it has to everything to do with what you do. That word conversation in the Bible is conduct. Okay? You conduct your way by what you say. Watch this. He says, we weren't redeemed from our vain conversation. Vain means worthless. It means exactly, you know, what it means. Vain is worthless, lifeless. We weren't redeemed from that we weren't redeemed from that by corruptible things. So he says all the silver, all the gold in the world, as beautiful as it is, as luxurious as it is, as much as it can cause you to get, he says, that ain't to get you what you're going to get. You need something greater. Hallelujah. I am new. Watch this. Watch this. He says, let me get back on this. He says, we were not, hallelujah. I feel him. I feel the anointing moving. Hallelujah. He says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Notice here he puts the ownership on us, your vain conversation, not theirs. Although you received it from them, he says it's yours. So that means you can receive something like sin is inherited. All mankind fell into it because of one man's act. We all got the same problem because of what Adam did. Oh, well, but we still all have the same solution because of what Jesus did. We all are still going to have to take ownership for ours, for our vain conversation in acknowledging the Son of God. Now, watch this. It says where it came from. God always is going to deal with sources. God always deals with the source. Every seed that's planted has a signature on it, okay? It don't matter if it's good or bad. This is why the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, glory, that shall he also reap. What are we sowing today? Vain conversation is idle. It's worthless. It's dead. It's lifeless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's, hey, when it's holy, Holy Spirit led, full of life, you got to reap that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What you sow, you're going to reap. Watch this. So he said, we were not redeemed with corruptible things. The very next part says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Understand something. It took sinlessness to deliver us from sin. God says, I'm coming to earth. I'm putting on a human body. But it ain't going to have no sin in it. I'm going to do this for you, you, and you too, and for him, and for her, and for them, for Pookie and them, for all of them, all right? God said, I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to do it for all of them, the one on the corner, the one in the crack house, trap house, the one on the gambling boat, the one with the problem with lying and thieving. The one that's stealing everybody else's husband, whoever, it don't make no difference. He said, I'm going to do it for that one. The church hypocrite, them too. The atheist, them too. The devil worshiper, them too. He did it for all of us. That don't mean everybody's going to receive or accept the gift, but it's available for everyone. The Bible says that Christ tasted death for all men. All men. There's no exclusion there. Didn't say just for Christian holy people. He tasted death for everybody, for everybody. But everybody's not going to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that's their choice. But we have to make sure we're putting him out so that they know he's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's so good. He's so good that he did this for us. It says, with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood. Now, he says that silver and gold is corruptible, but the blood of Jesus is precious. It's precious. Understand something. Understand something. It says he's without blemish and without spot. That means not one sin act, not one infraction against the law of God, against the law of Moses. He never did anything that could be held against him to say he was corrupted or corruptible. Although he came in flesh. The Bible says he was in the likeness of sinful flesh. Likeness. In the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not a sinner. He was born differently. He was born with a whole different nature, a whole different makeup. In Isaiah, God makes a prophecy, and he says, behold, I do a new thing. Let me find that here. He says, behold, I do a new thing. Now, we know Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 3:15, I believe it is, he says that there is nothing new under heaven, nothing new under heaven, but God's above the heaven, beloved. So anytime God wants to do something new, it's new. So there's nothing new to him. He knows everything. So you can't surprise him. You can't teach him. He can't learn anything. There's nothing he doesn't already know. He foreknew us before the foundation of the world. He knew every decision you would make. He knew every choice that would be presented to you to make decisions. He knew everything before it ever occurred. Okay, but yet he allows this thing to play out in time. And yet he strives with us in time to push us towards the destiny of life. There's a destiny of death that is drawing you as well as life drawing you, but it is up to each of us to decide. And our ears play a part in that by hearing the gospel of truth. This gospel. Watch this. All right. Watch this now. I got some things going on my phone here. If y'all hear that background noise, my apologies. All right. So he says here, Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There's never a situation you can get in that God can't show up. I don't care if it's a wilderness. God can show up and make a way. I don't care if you're in a desert. God can give you a drink. He's that awesome. Watch this. But he says, I will do a new thing. A new thing, right? He's really talking about that new thing he's talking about is Jesus becoming a man. It was new because he had never done it before. God had never become a human being, a flesh man. He'd never done that before. So all these people saying that these other people that came before Jesus was Jesus pre-incarnate, that's off. It's a false doctrine. I don't care who preaches it. It's a false doctrine. Believe me, I've studied. God has said approved. Trust me. Trust me. These people saying Jesus is one of the angels, Michael the archangel and all that too, no, that's never been done. God is God, and the angels are created by God. They're created beings, but God is creator. He's always been. But he takes on a new form and becomes a man. That's a new thing. That's new for humanity. That's new for God. In this sense, it's new for God. It's something that's never been. He's always known it. He's always known. So it's not news to him that I didn't know this was coming. It's not something that is new in the aspect of his understanding, but it's something that has never been experienced until it happened. So he becomes a man. He says, I put on a body of flesh. He says, I'm coming to earth. Prepare me a body. And he comes, and he's in the likeness of sinful flesh. He's not like Adam. He's not like the sons of Adam, which is you and I, which is all of us. Everybody that was born on planet Earth is a son of Adam except Jesus himself. And then we're born again and to be sons of God. Okay? The first birth is flesh. The second birth is spiritual. It's spiritual. So when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, which is an incorruptible thing. Watch this. So the new thing God does is he brings forth his son. How is that possible? How is the son of God born in human flesh and he's not tainted by sin? Because he doesn't receive the tradition of our fathers, the conduct, the vain conversation, the evil way, the lifelessness. He doesn't receive that through being born of Adam. His bloodline is different. His mother's human being, but his father is God. So the father determines what is passed down. This is why he speaks of the conversation that was passed down from the fathers. Does this make sense to anybody? So here's God doing a new thing because he's going to make you new so that you can say with confidence, I am new. We're still talking about renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind, I believe God is going to have this be the theme for the next 6 months if he wants to, because he's been showing me how important a renewed mind is. Watch this. A renewed mind is so important. It's so important that it's more important than you destroying the will of your flesh. Yeah, that's a part of the equation. We got to get rid of the flesh. We gotta die to the will of the flesh. We do. But we have to understand that the flesh is already a partaker of death. But what happens is there's a life on the inside that's trying to work its way out. It's trying to get a hold to every part of you so that you can really experience this redemption process that God has paid for with his blood. Watch this. Yeah, it is a basic teaching because God is wanting people to go back to the basics. Because watch this. Some people's foundation wasn't right to begin with. And it don't make no difference how extravagant of a house you build. If your foundation is cracking and got leaks in it, then you're going to have to go and seal up those leaks. You're going to have to pour some more concrete, or you're going to have to dig again and relay that foundation. This is foundational teaching. Maybe I don't care how much material you got for building a house. You can spend all kind of money on building a house, but if that foundation is not right, hallelujah. The job of the prophet is to tear down, to uproot, to pluck up, and then to plant and rebuild. Hallelujah. So there's order in God. Hallelujah. We want to be deep, but we don't want foundation. Hallelujah. I speak to your spirit because I can hear responses that people are making sometimes. Hallelujah. But watch this. God wants us to be deep with our foundation. He wants us to be deep with our foundation because the foundation is the rock, the solid rock. Let me tell you why I'm doing this too, while I'm on the subject. Earlier this year, many people were troubled. There were signs in the sky and in the heavens, the eclipse, and then we had a bunch of earthquakes and a bunch of hurricanes and fires that broke out right after that, and people were woe and doom and judgment, and God is going to overthrow America. You heard the prophet saying those things, and I begin to pray. I say, God, what does all this mean? Because of course it's signs of God. God said there would be signs in the heaven and in the earth, and the sea would roar, and all these things were happening all at one time this year, 2017. Well, part of that is because God is saying there's rebellion in the land. He said there's rebellion in the land, and he sees and knows everything. He's looking at our hearts continually, but he's so merciful. He's so good. I'm talking to God's people. Watch this. He says this right here. I prayed about it, and I asked, and, you know, some people believe the rapture was going to take place around September 23rd because of all those signs and the things that was in the heaven. But the Lord began to show me something. He began to give me revelation about this thing. I said, I understand that's not what it is. We can't put a date on when you're going to snatch us up out of here. We know the time that is close and that it's near at hand, but, Lord, this stuff means something. You're not giving us all these signs when your word says there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and the powers of heaven would be shaken, and the sea would roar, and perplexity of the nations, and all these things, the distress of nations we saw happening in our world, and it's still going on. I said, Lord, what is this about? He began to take me in the scriptures. He began to open my eyes and peel back layer after layer. And he showed me what's really what that stuff was a marker of is before we have a rapture, we'll have the falling away. Some people don't want to preach end times eschatology. They don't want to deal with this stuff. We want a happy pill, a message that, oh, Jesus loves everybody. Kumbaya. He do love everybody. He do. And we want the unity and the kumbaya feeling and all that. We want that. But we, in order to be unified, we've got to be joined together in the truth. Hallelujah. You be free. I be free. He be free. She be free. We all be free in the truth, because that's the only thing God's going to give us to make us free. The devil give you a lie to bind you up. I don't care if it's a lie that comes over the pulpit. He'll give it to you to bind you up. Now, watch this. God was showing me that it really represented the marker of the prophetic timeline showing when the falling away would start. Have you seen anybody recently that then turned away from the faith? Well, this is happening in the world. So why is God wanting to speak to us about our foundation? Because people are turning away from the faith. Folk that have been saved for years. People are struggling, fighting every day to not give up. Well, you can't give up. God has not gave up on you. He gave you life, and you are new. And you got to remember that. I got to drill that into your spirit because, listen, Jesus said this. He said, the man that hear my sayings and do them. He says, that man is like the man that dig deep and built on the rock. He placed his house on the rock, and the winds blew, and the flood came, and the rains fell, and that house stood. But the man that hears my sayings and don't do them, he is like the fool that built his house on the sand. I don't know if he used the word fool, but it's foolish to do that, right? That may be my paraphrase of his statement. I'm not reading it verbatim, but he says that man is like the man that was foolish and he built on the sand. And the same flood came, the same rains dropped, the same winds blew against that house. And he said the ruin of that house was great. So what I'm saying here is foundation is so vitally important, especially in the hour where we see that the devil is after our faith. I know we got faith in the greatest, that's Jesus. But how great is your faith is the question that he's looking for. Because the scriptures say clearly there will be a falling away. It says clearly some will depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, if you need a reference. It says clearly the Spirit speaks expressly, meaning very clearly. He's not playing. The Spirit don't lie. He says the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That means devils study the Bible and they create doctrine to cause you to fall away. And it's unfortunately, it's all over the internet. It's all over, all over the place. I met someone today and I was trying to tell them about Jesus and they believe their God. And I had to tell them about Psalms 83, and they don't want to hear it. In their mind, they're God. And we're all God. And, Jesus said that's how it would be in the last days, that many will say, I am Christ. So that's what people are believing. That's the lie that's going around, is that we have advanced so much that we're becoming God. And that at its core is Antichrist. So this is why the Lord keeps driving home renewing of the mind. I want to give you a happy pill. I want to say, God bless you, and we're going to all prosper and have this, that, and the other. But, beloved, watch this. I got to deal with whatever's coming after your soul. I got to deal with that because I understand something. A ship is only going to stay put when that anchor is in the ground. And we got to be anchored in Christ, because the old folks used to sing a song. There's a storm out on the ocean and it's heading this away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. Hallelujah. One of my children called me this week, and they began to tell me, when I was younger, you used to whoop my behind, and you used to, talk those scriptures to me, and you would say certain things, and I couldn't see it back then. I couldn't see it. And you used to tell me, I'm going to appreciate this later. I said, you know what, Dad? I appreciate what you told me. I appreciate every whooping. I appreciate you reading them scriptures to me and praying for me. He said, I appreciate it because everything you told me, I see it happening. Everything you told me was going to come after my mind and my faith and make me doubt God, I see it happening. And I ain't going to lie, I really did start doubting God, but God brought me back. So the point I'm saying in that is that there are people that are going to appreciate getting drilled with the same word and hammered with this word like this later on. Because what God wants to do is renew the mind. What God wants to do is prepare us on the foundation of the solid rock. The rock ain't moving. The winds and the rain and the floods and all that is coming after the house. The house is you. It's me. It's us. And every one of us is going to be tried by the same thing. The fool and the wise man had the same wind, the same rains, the same floods, the waters that came vehemently against that house. And only one's going to stand. Jesus said, two men shall be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Which man will you be? Hallelujah. Let me get back to, because this message is going totally different than what I had planned. But Holy Ghost, you are in control. You know what needs to be said. Hallelujah. Watch this. Back to 1 Peter. I believe there's more I needed to get out of that. Back to 1 Peter. God knows how to take a message and turn it. Because I had a whole list of stuff I wanted to say and ain't said now one part of it. But to God be the glory. Watch this. He says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but the precious blood, hallelujah, of the Lamb. The precious blood of Jesus as a Lamb, okay? But then he goes into saying this. Verse number, I'm going to skip down to verse number 20. What is it, 23? Yes. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, that word corruptible means able to partake of death. So the seed that you were born again by is incorruptible. It's not the same thing that was passed down from our fathers. It ain't the seed of Adam. That's why you got to be born again. Being born again is not optional. And just because you get baptized in his name don't mean you're born again. You got to believe. Born again experience happens before you touch the water. If you don't believe in your heart, the Bible says he that is baptized and believe is shall be saved, but he that believeth not is already damned. If you don't believe, then this is why we preach Jesus. Like my grandmother always says, preach Jesus. We got to preach Jesus, the true Jesus of this book. And let me clear something up real quick, because there's doubt. There's doubt that's floating around. I hear it all the time. Not only do I hear it in conversation, I hear it in the atmosphere. I can tell you some things, but I'm going to digress on that. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. Get this out of your mind. If somebody tells you man wrote the Bible, so it ain't, you know, we don't rely on it like that anyway. We got to know the Spirit. You know, we do need to know the Spirit. We do. But the Spirit is the one that gave us this book. The Bible says that all Scripture was given by God. All of it. Not part, not the old instead of the new, not the new instead of the old. He said all of it came from God. Jesus told his disciples something once. He says, listen, he says, except I go away, the Comforter cannot come. And when he comes, he says, there's more I got to say to you, but you're not ready yet. So the Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. He's going to fill in the gaps in your understanding, but he's going to lead you to this book. If the Spirit that you deal with leads you to something other than the Bible, then you got to question what Spirit is. Now, I'm not saying he can't teach you outside of the Bible. He owns all of creation. God will teach you through any and everything he wants to touch. But the most sure word of prophecy is in this book. Okay? Jesus told the apostles, he says, that when the Spirit come, he will bring back to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said to you. Now, I'm going to deal with that a little bit more next week because of the time, because there's so much to that statement. But understand what everything Jesus said to them. So what you got in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was the Holy Spirit that reminded them what Jesus said. He brought it back to their mind exactly the way he wanted it to be written. He told them, don't write certain things until after I am gone to be with my Father, after I'm glorified, write it. So why did he tell them to wait till after? Because then the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And his ministry would be not only restricted to Jesus and his circle, but his ministry would be released for the ministry of the Holy Spirit was released for everybody. That's why Jesus said he cannot come except I go away. So now he's gone away and he's left us a comforter. When you think about comforter, not only does it make you comfortable, not in sin. He don't make you comfortable in sin. That ain't the Holy Spirit. He'll trouble you out of your sin. He will cause you to feel bad about your sin till you get up out of that mess. But he will comfort you in your sufferings. He will. He will comfort you when they persecuting you, when they lying on you, when they trying to defame you, when they playing games with you, when they trying to rob you, when they hate you without a cause, he will comfort you when you just going through and you don't understand. He will comfort you. What is that thing you lay on your bed? You call it a comforter. It keeps you warm. It protects you from the elements of the cold, and you wrap yourself up in it. That's how the Holy Spirit is. He covers the earth. He's the comforter. Watch this. Now, that's our real covering. That's our true covering. Watch this. Hallelujah. Let me slow down. I feel like I'm going 100 miles an hour because there's so much that I know I got to try to extract in a short time. To God be the praise. Watch this. Jesus gave us the scriptures as a guide, as a roadmap. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as a GPS. Watch this. Now, the GPS has the same information in it that the map has on it, right? But let you get in a situation where you drive under a bridge or you get somewhere where your GPS, your system in your car, your ability to connect with them satellites in space is off. You better pull out a map if you're going to find where you're going. So we need the whole thing is what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit never fails. But there's times where we're not hearing him. We're not connected well enough. So you got to have that to show you, okay, this is what he said. I see the confirmation in the word. There's always confirmation in the word. If you're hearing the voice of God, then there has to be confirmation in the word. Even Jesus validated his ministry through the scriptures. Okay, after he resurrects from the dead with all power in his hand, he yet goes to his disciples and shows them who he was in the scriptures. They wasn't going to see it no other way. They done watched him heal folks. They done watched him cast out devils. They done it themselves, healing folks and casting out devils. They done watched him resurrect after a bloody death, and yet he's got to go to the scriptures to validate, this is who I am. Moses spoke of me. The prophet spoke of me. I'm the fulfillment of this. So we have to have this. We have to. Now, the leader is the Holy Spirit. He's your leader. He's your guide. He's going to speak to you. But to know that you're hearing the right voice, because the problem is not the voice. The problem is our ability to hear. And we've got to acknowledge that sometimes we don't clearly. Now, I said all that because there are people nowadays that are falling away simply because somebody tells you the Bible is not reliable. Yes, it is. Now, do I agree with every version of the Bible? No, definitely not. Can God use any and every version? He can use anything he wants to use. He's God. He has no limits. And if he wants to reach you, he's going to reach you. He will. But he has a way. He has a way that's right. He has a way that he's trying to deal with his people to keep us from deception, to get us in the truth so that we can have everything he's paid for us to have. Watch this. You are new. I am new. Let me get back on this. So we're born again. That's new. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Of incorruptible. That's new. Incorruptible is, it's not, it can't partake of death. By the word of God. Here it is right here, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said the word of God is forever. So anybody tell you it's not, they're lying. They're operating in the wrong spirit if they tell you it's not. Now, new, to be new. What does that really, really mean? I'm going to try to break this down real quick the way it was given to me this morning. Go to, matter of fact, I'm going to show it to you in the book. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, I believe it is. Yep. Verse number 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. This is the first man. First thing he had was a form. God formed him, but he's already in the mind of God. God already foreknew him. So that means all of us was in him when he breathed out the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of life, which is the Holy Spirit. When he breathed that out of himself and man's creative thought that God thought of man in his own imagination, he thought of, I'm going to make man in my image, my imagination. My image. I see myself, but I see it in a different form. I see, he already knew that Christ was going to come right then. So when he breathes that breath of life out of him into this form, something takes place. Watch what happens. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We got to go past the form. That means past knowing being in the flesh. We've got to step up now into the eternal realm of the spirit of life. I want you to hear this real good. Whoever you may be out there listening, watch this. It just dawned on me. I didn't even do an introduction today, but you in by now. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. But listen, he breathes into this form. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the Ruach HaKodesh. That means the breath of life or the essence of the Holy Spirit. Ruach is Hebrew. Okay, so he breathed that out into this form, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you got three things here. You got the form, which is the body. You got the Ruach, which is the spirit. And then you got what, when those two connect, what happens is it brought forth a living soul. It was alive, living. I'm almost done here, okay? He has now made an entity that never existed in its form in the mind of God, since his mind is eternal, it's always been in his mind. He knew us before the world was the foundation of the world. Watch this. But in time, as God describes time, and he doesn't measure time like you and I do, so we don't understand his words sometime, or his promises, his prophecies, because his timing is different. But watch this. Here he goes. He breathes out of himself into the form. We got to be more than a form. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. It's because that breath got to come into them. Hallelujah. Watch this. But when God breathes into that form, then that's what brings forth life. Watch this. It has to be by the Spirit, through the anointing of God, through anointed preaching of the word. Watch this. It'll change a life. It'll change a mind. It'll renew a mind. Quicken you. Down in your belly, it'll quicken you. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's that body, that clay. Breathe into him, he became a living soul. He was alive. So what is death? Death is of the soul. The soul is the living part. So when God told man, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the forbidden fruit, he says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now you might die. Oh, I'm thinking about, no, you're dead. You're going to die if that happens, is what he told him. It's death. It just really, it's all it is. But God come to give us life. Watch this. Jesus came, he says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. In other words, I'm coming to breathe on that which is dead. Hallelujah. He led me to Ezekiel 37:9 the other night. And there God told Ezekiel, speak to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. And that wind's going to bring them dry bones back to life. Some things is dead, but God says, I got wind that can bring life. Watch this. God got a wind that combats the wind of the spirit of Antichrist. Y'all understand that's a different kind of wind. The wind of doctrines that'll toss you to and fro. The evil stuff that God is trying to protect us from, and that's why he wants to renew our mind. But God says, my wind is greater. Hallelujah. So he breathes right here on this form, and man becomes a living soul. But then man makes a decision to sin against God, and his soul dies. What is death then? Because the body took 930 years to follow and die. So he didn't drop dead that day. But God didn't lie. He died that day. His soul died. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. It shall die. So the soul is the part that dies. But God is a God that is merciful, and he can renew you back to life. Hallelujah. Watch this. Through his Holy Ghost, through that ruach, that breath of life. Watch this. So what took place here in the garden was three parts. God brought man, and this is going to lead into next week, if the Lord allows. This is what I believe I'm going to teach on, but he's in full control. So if he turns it, we're going to follow him. But I've been wanting to do this for weeks, the makeup of a human person, because if we understand this, then we understand what we got, and then we understand what we're wrestling against, but then we'll understand what we're wrestling for and why we need to not get the victory. We need to understand we already possess the victory so that we won't let go. Watch this. Because God cares so deeply for us that he says, I will bring life where there appears to be death. Watch this. Watch this. Adam died. He took of what God told him not to. He died. But God already had a plan in motion. He tried to cover himself. That's what religion, vain religion, vain conversation, vain conduct. He tried to cover himself with fig leaves. God said, nope, that ain't going to do. And God covered him, which is showing us the covenant of the covering of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, which Jesus gave us through his blood. Hallelujah. Ain't he good? Now, the death process was when God's spirit, which is life that caused the soul to come alive, when that departed from man, that's what death is. Now watch this. Let me help you understand this. This is real intricate. The human person, body, soul, spirit, understand how this works. When God breathed out of himself, he took a part of his living spirit and put it in you. That forms a human spirit. The soul is a semi-independent spirit. I said semi-independent. This is how the Holy Spirit downloaded it to me. He's a semi-independent spirit, meaning he can make his own decisions. He can live on his own accord, free will, but he doesn't live by his own ability. Watch this. He doesn't live by his own ability. So a human being has a spirit, which is a portion of God's spirit, okay? But what happens is the soul begins to die, and it lays dormant inside, but yet it still has attributes of life. Understand, if you take your cell phone and plug it into the wall, it's fully alive when it's on that charger, and it'll reach 100%, and it'll stay lit up. And it won't die down until you unplug it. But as soon as you unplug it, it has an appearance of life. But it goes from 100% to 99%. And down, and then you add 50%. Then you add 20. Then you add 10. Now it's beeping and telling you you better hook it up to something, give it life. Well, that's how the death process of the soul is sort of like. It doesn't just literally cease to exist, but it slowly fades away. That's what death is. Now, what happens is the Spirit of God disconnects from the spirit of man, because God is holy and he cannot be partaker of sin. So the moment the soul makes a decision to say, yes, I'll sin, as soon as it makes that decision, then the Spirit of God, that's why the word says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword to divide asunder the soul and spirit. The word of God. God had already put his word out. And the day you eat, you're going to truly die. So that was the division of the soul and spirit. The soul said, I'm going to go this way. And the spirit said, well, I'm going to keep pointing towards what God said. Now, God gives us the second benefit. When Jesus raises from the dead, he calls forth his apostles and he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's a second benefit. He's now breathing life upon us once again. All right. He now is giving us the second benefit, renewing, regenerating to life. Now, the mankind is three parts, but really four. And the fourth part that we have to deal with is our conscience, which is it's a pre-programmed place in our mind that remembers the truth of God. This is why even sinners have a conscience that never heard of truth. Something in them before they continue in sin, if you keep sinning and keep doing wrong, then your heart gets hardened and your conscience becomes seared. But a conscience is like a memory battery in a computer. That's really everything about a computer. They're watching the human brain and the human. They look at the human person and try to mimic it. They're trying to create something similar to what God did, which is going to lead up to other stuff in the end times. But I digress on that. But the conscience is a part of the mind. It's pre-programmed to remember God's laws. It really is. This is why nobody got to tell you something's wrong the first time you do it. And you know, and your heart beats fast, and some little voice is inside of you telling you that's not God, that's not good, that's not for you to do. That's your conscience. But the inner man, who you are, is your soul. That's you. That's your independent or semi-independent person. And that's the one that's going to choose heaven or hell. It's the decision maker. But it is not the voice of reason. The spirit of man, which is still inside of you, but it's not necessarily connected to the soul that's wanting to sin. The spirit inside of you has to be rekindled by another breath of life. That's why he has to pour his spirit out on us. When the spirit is poured out on us, he gives us life and makes us new. Therefore, we can say, I am new. Today, God is breathing life on us to make us new so that we can say, I am new. Why? Because the more we follow the Spirit in obedience to the word of truth, the more we follow the Spirit in obedience to the word of truth, hallelujah, then the more he frees our soul. And if he frees our soul, our desire is for him. And as our desire is for him, not the stuff of this old corruptible world, the best of it is called corruption. The silver, the gold, all of that, your money system is based on the value of those things, or it used to be. Now it's on oil, but still. The gold is highly valuable to man in the flesh. To God, he says, it's nothing. It's corruptible. I gave you something better. The blood, the life-giving blood of my son that carries the spirit that I can pour out on you and you can receive that breath of life. Hallelujah. He said, I give you that. Hallelujah. Be regenerated in the name of Jesus. I speak life to your soul. Somebody needs to hear this. Hallelujah. Yes, God. God is pouring it out for you. Hallelujah. Listen, this is the last thing I'm going to say. He regenerates our spirit that we will have a spiritual mind, because that mind always goes the way of God. The soul makes a decision to either go follow the spirit or follow the flesh. But if it follows the spirit, and if you really begin to connect with God spirit to spirit, then the soul will begin to desire God even more. The more it desires God, then the more freedom you experience. And when you're free, then you can bind the flesh that's trying to keep you from being free. You can put the flesh under subjection. You can put the world under your feet. You can do what God says you can do. Hallelujah. You can have what God says you can have. He's already gave you his yes. In him, all the promises are yes and amen. All of them. In him. In him is the key. Hallelujah. The promises of God are yes and amen. I'll deal with the rest of this next week, but we want to be free. We want to understand, yes, Lord. We want to understand this. The flesh, this is what he gave me today. The flesh is a gateway to the soul. Okay? And the soul is a gateway to your human spirit, not to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit deals with your human spirit. Watch this. It deals with your human spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, I'm not going to read it, but I know what it says. It says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and of spirit. The reason the spirit can become defiled, and God doesn't like when we do that, the reason for that is when you yield to the flesh, then you open up your soul to the way of the flesh, and your soul decides. And then in that, you are pouring filthiness into your human spirit. And this is why the Holy Spirit has to strive with us. He has to strive and keep sending the same word over and over to get us out of ourselves, out of our own way, out of the things of the world, out of what we think is right. There's a way that seems right, but we know nothing. God knows everything. He has to work on us and keep working on us. Be renewed. Be renewed. Hallelujah. He has to work on us through our mind, and it's deeper than just our head knowledge. And I'm gonna deal with all that next week, the Lord allows. But at the end of the day, a renewed mind equals freedom. It equals freedom, because the world, the flesh, sin, it's all bondage. Death is really another form of bondage. It's bondage of corruption. But God wants us free. He wants us free. To God be the praise. Father, I thank you for your word. Hallelujah. That your word goes in and it digs into us and it removes the things that are not pleasing to you, but it plants your truth in us, Lord God, in a way that it brings us to being fruitful. The fruit you look for is the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God. So we thank you and praise you that the Spirit is always willing to produce, and let us be good ground. Make us to be good ground as we continue to hear your word, and as you continue to bless us with faith, Lord God, to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, and for healing bodies, Lord God. I thank you for healing minds, Lord God. We break off psychological issues off of the people of God right now in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord God, you have your way and prevail in our lives on today. In Jesus' name, In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
It's a song that says, I'm free indeed. In Christ, I'm free indeed. No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be. I'm free indeed. In Christ, I'm free indeed. No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be. Everybody sing out with
was blind, but